us and how he encourages us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for how your Spirit inspires us and draws us together and gives us a message that preaches from the beginning of the service all the way to the end, not just on Sunday mornings, but even on Wednesday nights. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now for your moment of complete randomness. I walked up and I put one hand here and one hand here. I put my foot up here and I thought, I love this pulpit. Why do I love this pulpit so much? It's like a bar. I know, it's on the recording, right? All we need to do is just bronze this little thing right here, and it's just like a pub right here. You know, that's how pubs got to be called bars, because that little thing right in front of the bar was metal, so that you didn't like damage the bar. They had a metal foot rail so that you didn't scuff it up. Yeah, it was for the boots, and that was why it was called the bar. So it's like a little pub. I love this pulpit. It's like a bar. Anyway, yep, there you go. And now I've made my mother so proud tonight. Aren't you glad I didn't say that on Mother's Day, Mom? All right. There you go. Anyway, okay, so I really enjoyed these two chapters. I felt like they had... I don't know. They were more personal to me than other chapters. They spoke more practically and more personally to me than other chapters. I don't know. Maybe they didn't do that for you, but they did for me. And I enjoyed them on a more personal level, on a more practical level, as opposed to a more theoretical or more intellectual level. This was a more practical, experiential level. So. We're going on, and this is week four, and we're doing chapter six and seven, which chapter six is Doubting Thomas. John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25, and that's how we start off. And he starts off with some rampant speculation. And a lot of it. Nine possible negative reasons that Thomas was not with the apostles. The old joke that he begins with is, Thomas skipped church that day. So, why wasn't he at church? Why wasn't he at church on Sunday? And he makes stuff up. Now, he's not really making stuff up. He's got some good reasons. And there are good reasons, and they're speculation. But they're legitimate speculation, and there's some reason before, and he draws some good spiritual application out of it. Okay, so the first reason, he was frightened and wanted to hide. It makes sense. Everybody else was frightened and wanted to hide. They were just hiding together, right? I mean, let's face it, the disciples were up in the locked room behind the locked door hiding for fear of the Jews. Maybe he was the only guy that said, hey, I need to give them multiple targets. Well, they're all in one place. I should be somewhere else, idiots. Okay? But, you know, we do this sometimes. We hide ourselves. Sometimes we say it's for fear of persecution. We better make darn sure that we're using a lowercase p when we say persecution, because real persecution happens in places like Africa and the Sudan, in places like Nigeria and Kenya. Real persecution happens over there in places like Indonesia. Here, we get made fun of, all right? Or maybe, we lose a job, okay? It's hard to compare kidnappings and murders and rapes to a little discomfort and a little jokes and a little ridicule. But, you know, we can face some lowercase p persecution and ridicule for our faith. And sometimes we hide from that. You know, somebody says something about religion and we keep our mouth shut. You know, know, that's not exactly a locked door, but we lock our mouths when we ought to say something. So maybe there's a little Thomas in us there. Okay. Reason number two, maybe he just wanted to be by himself for a while. I mean, after all, they had just been through a horrible, traumatic week, right? Everything that just happened, Jesus' arrest, his trial, the crucifixion, the burial, their own role in that. Remember, they had abandoned Jesus, right? Maybe he just needed some private time. Maybe he needed some me time, okay? Now, sometimes that's wise. Often, Jesus went to be by himself, to have prayer time, to restore himself, to have some sense of private time with the Lord. And other times, it's just a pout. So it could have been kind of positive, and it could have been purely self-serving. I don't want to deal with them. I don't want them to deal with me. I don't want to have any of my issues brought up and dealt with. I want to be by myself. Sometimes it's just self-indulgent. Sometimes it's more hiding. Okay? Number three, he was embarrassed and disillusioned. Okay? He felt like he'd been hornswoggled. Okay? He thought Jesus was going to do something, and he didn't, and now he felt like he'd been deceived. Jesus was going to be the Messiah who was going to ride in there and kick out all the Romans and establish the new Davidic dynasty, and now he was laying in a tomb somewhere. Now he wasn't even laying in a tomb somewhere. You don't even know where he is. Maybe he was just felt like he'd been sold a bill of goods. I spent the last 2 or 3 years with this guy, and now I'm going to have to go back and tell people that I was wrong. I followed this guy for 3 years, and I thought he was the Messiah. I went out and told people he was the Messiah. I went out and did all these things. I left a good job. I did all these things. I went to college and got a degree in religious studies and went off to seminary. I could have gone to law school. No. Yes.
Was it in the city?
Was what in the city? Left a good job in the city. I was working for the man every night and day. Still, I never lost 1 minute of time worrying about what might have been. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. Never ask a guy who went to school in New Orleans to start off with that one. Anyway. You're lucky I didn't just keep on going. All right. Anyway, next time I'm going to do it faster. All right, number four. he felt abandoned. I think this one's a bit of a stretch, okay? Because you got to realize that Canon Pearson has done years in healing ministry, and he's really, really good at that. And to me, this is kind of projecting. And it makes much more sense in a contemporary ministry setting. Because here's what happens in a contemporary ministry setting. Somebody has issues with a father who's left them. Okay? Their dad leaves, abandons them, whatever. They've got, you know, oversimplifying and being really crass. They've got daddy issues. Okay? So when they come to try and have a religious experience, they can't have a relationship with God because they've got their daddy issues, and that gets in the way of their issues with God the Father. Their issues with their earthly father interfere with their issues with their heavenly father because one bad father screws up their relationship with God the Father, okay? And what he's trying to say here is that since Jesus said, I and the Father are one, Jesus left, that caused Thomas to have issues with the Father, okay? But it's way too early for that. To me, and you know, maybe I'm going to get a phone call when Ken and Mark listens to this, and it's like, in his strange Boston accent, which is truly delightful. Anyway, in case you're listening, Boston, Red Sox. Anyway, it's a little early for that because he hadn't quite gotten the whole unity of the message yet. It's a little too early for that. Maybe in 60 days, when Pentecost had fallen and the power of the Holy Spirit and they had really embraced the fullness of the message, then it makes a little bit more sense. For anybody now, it would make sense. To me, it's a little bit early for this. To me, he felt abandoned, he felt embarrassed and disillusioned. The guy that he had, left everything to follow was gone, and he was going to have to go back and say, I just spent the last 3 years following this guy. I thought he was the Messiah, and now I'm going to have to go back and tell everybody I was wrong, and I look like an idiot. Okay? It falls more in line with that to me. But now, what he's talking about is a very real modern phenomena. People absolutely project their issues with their earthly father onto their issue with their heavenly father. That's an absolutely legitimate thing. I just don't know how real it could have been for Thomas at the time. Number five, he was ashamed for having run away. Totally possible. Maybe it's how he dealt with what everybody else did. I mean, everybody else ran away. Maybe he just couldn't go and deal with them. Maybe he just stayed running away or ran away again. Number six, he had insufficient faith. What do you do when you don't have the faith? He didn't have the faith to go back. He didn't have the faith to wait. He didn't have the faith to go with them and be there. Well, the best prayer is from Mark 9:24. This is going to come up over and over again this night. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In the old days, the Jews, the Hebrews, would set up altars. And those altars were memorial stones. They were pillars to commemorate these mighty deeds. Recall what God has done for you. All right? Don't believe that God can heal you of what's going on. Recall the times that he's done it already. Don't believe that he can bring you out of the dire straits that you're in now. Recall the times he already has. Chances are, he's already been there and done that for you, and you're just kind of being really selective with your memory. All right. Number seven, he was one of them Lone Ranger believers. All right? He was a Lone Ranger believer. He wanted to handle it on his own. I know tons of these people. There are all sorts of Christians who are all about, I don't believe in organized religion. Okay, yeah, because disorganized religion has done a whole lot better of a job. Mm-hmm. There are people who have taken the idea of a home church and made it a denomination. Okay, they're like, yeah, I'm just gonna meet in my house and I'm gonna lead my own church. All right, this is just dangerous. Why do we need to be a part of a church? He gives four reasons. Okay, first off. Jesus talks about in Scripture how part of the discipline process is laying things before the church. If you have a problem with a brother, bring it before that brother, then take it before two brothers, then bring it before the whole church. And if the guy still doesn't repent, cast him out. St. Paul talks about how gifts are distributed broadly. To one is given this gift, to another is given this gift, to another is given this gift. Right? He talks about this being the body. Right? So the ear can't say, I have no need of seeing. Right? We talk about this in terms of, we are the body and we work together. But one point we don't think about is you can't do it on your own. The foot can't say, I can be a complete entity in and of myself. To heck with all of you. You're just going to get me in trouble. I'm going to be fine by myself. there's nothing in the rest of the body but false teaching. I'm going to go off and be by myself. What happens to a foot that tries to be by itself when it severs itself from the rest of the body? It dies. And the same goes for any other part of the body that severs itself from the rest of the body. It dies. All right. The pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, give all sorts of qualifications for what ordained ministry is supposed to be like. And then finally, he says this, and this is a really interesting thought. Souls are won and built up in church. It says every now and then you get somebody who has a vision and that leads them somewhere, but very rarely is somebody fully converted by a vision. Typically, that vision is a hook, and that leads them to a believer, and the believer brings them to a church. And once they're in the church, that's where they convert, that's where they are brought up in the faith. And it's in the church that they convert, and once they're in the church, that they are fully developed, strengthened, and built up. All right? Okay. So that was number 7 of the 9 possible reasons he wasn't there, saying why Lone Ranger Christians are not okay. But number 8, maybe he just had issues with the other apostles. I don't know anybody who's got issues with anybody else in church. I don't know anybody who doesn't go to church because they've got a beef with somebody. Maybe he had a beef with somebody there. Maybe he just was like, you know what? I need some time away from James. Who knows? My note here says, what, like it couldn't happen? Number 9, he had family issues to deal with. The apostles left behind everything to follow Jesus. Maybe he was looking at this as a great opportunity to go and clean up some family business. He had some downtime. All right, you know what? I left behind everything, and right now, there's nothing going on. I need to go mow my mother's yard. You know, something like that. Okay? Maybe he just needed to go take care of some family business. Clean out the garage. You know? All right, so now that we're done with the negative speculation, I don't know that taking care of family business is necessarily such a bad thing, but then he goes into 2 possible positive reasons. Maybe there was a good reason that he wasn't there. Number 1, he was not afraid to die and wasn't hiding in a locked room. Not afraid to die. I'm not going to be skulking around like some coward. In John 11, Jesus said he was going to die. He said, I've got to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be handed over, and I'm going to die. And all the apostles were like, no, no, don't do it. And Thomas, unlike everybody else, said, let's go that we can go and die with you. Okay? Maybe he was like, fine. I had a moment of weakness, and I ran like a coward, and I'm not going to run anymore. Bring it, Romans. Maybe. Or maybe he was gathering supplies for the community. That's a possibility. Somebody had to do it now that Judas was all hung up.